All right. Thank you for that wonderful song and the honor of being here. Pastor Gillett, I thank you at Worth Baptist for sponsoring this meeting here in this wonderful facility. And I know that Dr. Barber is preaching next, so I just want to kind of get this done and get out of the way. I love to hear him quote Scripture, don't you? I'll tell you, he gets done quoting just about a few passages, I'm ready to go to the altar. I'll tell you, I appreciate Dr. Barber and the great ministry here, and of course the ministry of Mount of Byram and the great work that's going on there. We thank God for it. I do need to get down there sometime. I've never been there, and we're glad to support it and be a part of this conference, and what a blessing that it is. Now, a little boy on the way home from church, he asked his mother, said, "Mother, what's the highest number you've ever counted to?" And she said, "Well, son, I don't know." Said, "What's the highest number you've ever counted to?" And he said, 5,618. She said, My, that must have taken you a long time. What made you stop?" And he said, "Well, the preacher finally quit." And I hope that, so if you're ready to count, now's the time to start, all right? You got to get up to that point. I hope that I can articulate this better than I did Christmas Day. I had a number of preachers that were, and friends that were sending me texts. How many of you text? Let me see your hand. You text? Well, I use the little microphone deal there. You know, you just push that little, I'm thinking I'm a real techie, you know, but I'm, and one of my preacher friends, he sent me a text, you know, about to have Merry Christmas, how are you doing? And I knew that he'd been ill, and so I said, "Well, Merry Christmas to you." I put the microphone on. I wasn't driving there in the house, and I said, "Merry Christmas to you. I hope the Lord brings you back to good health." That's where it stopped, and I sent it. Have you ever done something along those lines? And so I hope that I can articulate better than I did in that text that I sent out. I guess getting old and getting this idea that I can get all this new technology and get it going, I know that I'm not. In fact, when I was looking in front of the mirror, I say, "Who's that old man looking back at me?" is the problem that I'm having. In fact, as my mother said, you'll reach a point in life where time flies whether you're having fun or not. And I have certainly gotten to that place. In fact, I read somewhere the other day that you'll get to a point in life where tomorrow becomes yesterday before you even realized it was today. And that'll sure happen to you very, very quickly if you're not careful. Well, if you have your Bible, turn to 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter number 13. And here is a wonderful story about Elisha. And, of course, he prayed for a double portion that God would give to him. And what a wonderful blessing Elisha was. He, of course, poured water on the hands of the man of God. And I am so grateful to have my wife here with me. And what a great encourager she has been. She was teaching English when we met, grammar, literature. She loved that. On our second date, I said, "Well, how is my grammar?" She said, "Well, it's not glaringly bad." And I said, "Well, all right." And so I've been working on it ever since then. And so I appreciate her. She had her hip replaced a little while ago. And I tell people that she wore it out carrying me on her back for all these years. And so I appreciate my wife. I married way above myself. You know, the Bible says, whoso finds a wife, Proverbs 18:22, finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Nowhere does it say whoso finds a husband finds a good thing. And so can I get an amen from you men? All right. We all marry above ourselves. So I'm grateful for my wife and all that she has done. Now, Elisha here in 2 Kings, this little story here is kind of lost in all of the miracles that have happened. And Elisha is dealing with a king. Let's begin to read in verse number 14, if you will. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten five or six times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. I want to speak here for just these few moments on keep shooting the arrows. Keep shooting the arrows. You know, it's an incredible thing here in this story that oftentimes we get the idea that whatever will be. But here in this great story we have three great lessons by way of introduction. First of all, what great things lie in our hands? What great things lie in our hands? Elisha said to the king, you know, you shoot with those arrows. And he shot only three times and he quit. And he said, how tragic it was that you quit shooting the arrows. Had you kept shooting the arrows, you would have consumed Syria, the enemy. But now you'll smite them only thrice, and they'll not be totally defeated. I want to say to all of us tonight, what great things lie in our hands if we'll yield them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And great things can happen. We have a responsibility. Whatsoever your hands find to do, Solomon said, in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, whatsoever your hands find to do, do it with all of your might. Now, we live in a day and time of Calvinism where it's almost like the guy walking across the street falls and breaks his arm, said, well, I'm glad that's finally over. And we just get the idea that, well, whatever's going to happen is going to happen, that we have no responsibility. But I'm going to say to you and to me tonight, we have a great responsibility of things that ought to be done. And this king had a great responsibility to keep shooting the arrows. And so what great things lie in our hands? And we certainly can know of great people who have done great things for God in wonderful areas because they understood that they had something that could be done. Secondly, I want you to see by way of introduction that what responsibility we have for others. Here was a king that had a responsibility to all those others to deal with the enemy of Syria that was contrary to the great people of God. And what a responsibility that was in that king's hands for all of the other people that were involved in what he would do with his responsibility, what an impact it would have on others. May I say to all of us here tonight, what a great impact our lives will not only have for what we accomplish, but for what others may accomplish. That really is kind of the theme of the conference here, that we could pass on to other people to be faithful and to do as God would have them to do. And so all of us have that great responsibility to others. It's not just about ourselves. It's not just about me and what I need to do, but it's what I will do and what it will happen to others as a result of what I do or don't do, as in the case of this king. May I say thirdly, by way of introduction, what great results come from seemingly insignificant tasks. What great results come from seemingly, you know, now some would say, man, hear this guy, here's a sick old man. You know, really, that's what this king probably thought. Here's a sick old man. He's about to die. In fact, it says he's so ill, he dies of the illness that he has. He might have been hacking and coughing and having all kinds of problems. Man alive, this guy wants me to keep shooting arrows out an open window. Well, I don't understand what significance there can be of shooting arrows out of an open window. So he takes a bow and arrow and he shoots it once. Boy, I don't see what that did. Shoots it twice and shoots it a third time. Puts it all down. Said, man, I just can't fathom what this insignificant thing is that I'm doing, what an impact it would have. Little did he realize for time and eternity what a significance it would have. And you and I here tonight, sometimes you ushers get the idea how important is ushering. It's very important. Thank God for it. Nursery workers, you say, well, it's insignificant to add a little baby. It's important work. Amen. Don't ever imagine driving a bus. Sometimes you wonder, those little bus kids, you think, man alive, what will maybe they ever accomplish? You never know what they may accomplish. And I know sometimes you you get the idea that the work that you're doing is an insignificant thing, but you don't know out yonder what kind of significance it may have on somebody's life, what an impact you've had upon them, when sometimes you never hear any praise, nobody ever notices, but what an impact it's had on some boy or girl for time and eternity, thank God for it. And so here was this king. He just, you know, he's like, man, I'm giving this up. I need to get back, get busy doing some things that I think really matter. But I'm going to tell you something. The dailies of life, someone said to me, said life wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't so daily. Well, the truth is you can't have it any other way, and it comes at you that way. Wouldn't we love to sometimes skip a Monday? And somebody asked Truett, said, you ever want to quit the ministry? He said, how many Mondays are there in a year? And so the truth is, here was this king. He just thought, man, I can't understand the significance of this. But there are things that you will do that you may think, boy, it just didn't have any kind of impact. And at the judgment seat of Christ, where God will show you how significant what you imagined didn't really matter, how much it really did have an impact. And so I want to just give you just quickly just a few things here. I want you to notice Elisha, first of all. He's old, but he knows what the king doesn't know. He knows what it takes. You see, the Bible says that he poured water on the hands of the man of God. That's what he did. He was a servant to Elijah, the great prophet. And he knew what it would take to become what this king needed to become. And you see, the truth is, some of you young people, you're just anxious sometimes for the old man to get out of the way. And I want to tell you something, there's some things that you still need to learn from some of the older people that, you know, we may not be as techy as you are, but there's some things we can pass on to you that can have some significance for you and what a difference it can make. You know, he not only poured water on the hands of the man of God, look over in 2 Kings chapter number 2. I love the response of this good young man, Elisha, at this point in time in his life. In chapter 2 and verse number 2, we read these famous words, and Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Look at verse number 4, same thing. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Look at verse number 6, same thing. As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Don't you like that kind of emphatic way in which Elisha said, I want you to know, just following you where you're going, I want you to know I understand how important it is. But that king didn't. He didn't understand. He just thought, well, I'll tell you, this sick old man, I just think I'm going to quit now. I know I've got a lot more arrows in my quiver that I could shoot, but I just don't see what this matters. But Elisha knew. He knew what it take to continue to have the blessing of God on his ministry. And may I say to you young people, don't leave the principles of the doctrines of Christ and all the wonderful things that this church and people in your life have taught you and showed you and have tried to encourage you with it. And stay with it, thank God. Amen. Everything doesn't have to change. We get the idea. Everything has to change. Change isn't necessarily bad. As my wife said, change is good. Folding money is better. And I like that. But anyway, we get the idea that it doesn't really take place, but Elisha knew that. And sometimes we get the idea that, well, it doesn't have any significance. It does. What wasn't going to happen unless Elisha, unless you see me, this king, unless you keep shooting the arrows, you're not going to have the kind of victory that you want to have. And some of you need to learn to stay with it. You quit too soon. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You quit too soon. I'm going to tell you, 42 years ago I started Temple Baptist Church, and I want you to understand, in those early days, at 26 years of age, I just thought that the first Sunday from then on there would be a host no man could number to hear the wisdom that a 26-year-old preacher could convey to all of the folks in that city. And I'm going to tell you, it didn't happen that way. But I decided I wasn't going to quit too soon. You know, the truth is, some of you are ready to give up. You're ready to just turn in the towel. Don't see, man, this has been useless. I think I'm going on somewhere else. And you're just going to keep going on to somewhere else, somewhere else, somewhere else, again and again. You need to stick with it. Don't quit. Notice Elisha. He understood that. There's a second thing. I want you to notice the prophecy in 2 Kings 13 and verse 17. And he said to this king, open the window eastward. And he opened. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them. This old man had great confidence in that king if he would just do what he ought to do. I'm going to tell you something. I've seen over a lot of years a lot of young people that I thought had more potential than you could imagine, but they never stayed at shooting the arrows. Then I've seen some other young people come along that you look at them and think, man, well, I just wonder, you know, what if to get around them, you just wonder, are they ever going to make it? You know, I just, you know, we got a young man right now that's a youth pastor up in Taze Valley, West Virginia. He's not the youth pastor, the assistant pastor now, doing a wonderful work. When he was a seventh grader, I had a mother come to me who had a fifth grade son and said, you need to kick that boy out. He's worthless. But I'm going to tell you something. He's doing something for God now. You know, the truth of the matter is, here was Elisha. He saw the potential that was in this king. He said, I want you to know, I see that if you'll just do what I'm telling you to do and finish the task that you think doesn't matter, if you'll stay at it, you're going to consume Syria till they're destroyed. But he just gave up and quit shooting all the arrows. Oh, the prophecy that's about you tonight. God has great things for you, great potential if you'll stay at it and keep shooting the arrows. You see, we can see some things in you don't see in yourself. You got the talent and the ability and everything that God wants for you to have, be able to accomplish what he wants you to accomplish if you'll keep shooting all of the arrows. But there's something you have to do. You have to stay at it. Some of you young people, you're going to drop out of school. You know, maybe some of you in Bible college somewhere. I don't know. I don't know much about everybody here tonight, but some of you, the devil's whispering in your ear, boy, this doesn't just make sense. You ought to move on to something else. And you're just about ready to see the victory if you'll just keep shooting the arrows. But he stopped. Notice the king's response. He shot the arrows through the open window, did it three times, quit. Maybe somebody laughed. Maybe somebody laughed at him. So what are you doing? Well, I'm just shooting arrows through an open window. Somebody probably laughed at that. Oh, you're going to go to Bible college. You're going to be a preacher. You're going to be a missionary. Somebody laughed at you. You're ready to quit because of that. You think, man alive, I could do something different, better, whatever. You yield yourself to what God has for you. What a wonderful thing. I at starting Temple Baptist, I heard where folk would say, I don't think you'll ever make it. And the truth of the matter is, at times, I didn't think I'd make it. But God's been good, and to God be the glory. And what a blessing it's been over these 42 years to see what God has wrought in these days. And it's been unbelievable. And no way to explain it. Just staying with it, that's all. Just staying with it and keep shooting the arrows. That's what's necessary. Keep preaching the word. There have been times when I wondered, boy, that didn't seem to accomplish anything. But God keeps blessing it if you just stay at it, stay at it. And so here was Elisha. He got angry and frustrated at what could have been and said to the king, you will not accomplish all you could have because you quit shooting all the arrows. And I just want to close with this thought here tonight. Here was this king who could have done so much, but he quit too soon. I don't know what the devil's been whispering in your ear, but I want you to stay at it. I want you to stay at it. I've been at it 42 years, and people keep asking me, when are you going to retire? And I say, well, do I look old? Is that what you're thinking? You know, the truth is, I tell them I'm going to retire every night, 11 o'clock tonight. I'm going to retire. That's what I'm going to do, get up and go at it again in the morning. The truth of the matter is, I'm not saying retirement is a bad thing if that's where God has you at this point in time in your life, where you're ready to do that. But the fact is, that depends on whether you shot all the arrows that need to be shot in the position that God's given you. That's the issue. May I encourage you tonight? You know, Elisha put his hands on that king and he helped him a little bit. And that's what I want to do tonight with this sermon. I want my hands to be on your hands. Pull that bow and arrow back again and shoot that arrow. Now, we're going to be gone in this meeting after a few days, but I want you to just stay at it and shoot all the arrows that God puts in your quiver, all the opportunities that God brings your way. Keep shooting them all for his honor and his glory. May I say in the beginning of this meeting here on Monday night, I hope that some of you will not resign, but resign and pick up that bow and arrow again and start shooting all the arrows that God has given to you. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, I do pray that you'll bless everyone here tonight that may be in a place to where they feel so discouraged and don't understand what's being accomplished by just shooting the arrows through an open window. Help them to understand how important little things can be for great accomplishments for your glory. Bless this conference and all that will be preached and sung and said. And may Dr. Barber have your power and anointing upon him in a moment. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.